wars, and whatnot.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It was a near unanimous vote yesterday in the Senate, 91-5. Now the $106 billion bill to fund the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is headed to the White House for President Barack Obama's signature. Some senators complained it's more than what the president requested, including money for foreign aid, the flu pandemic, and the Cash for Clunkers program that aims to get more people into fuel-efficient cars. Texas billionaire Alan Stanford traded in the trappings of the financial aristocracy last night for a jail cell in Virginia. Stanford surrendered to the FBI yesterday outside his girlfriend's home, and he'll appear this morning at a federal court in Richmond. More now from Marketplace's Steve Henn.
This morning, authorities will unseal an indictment handed down by a grand jury sitting in Houston, Texas. Earlier this spring, the SEC accused Stanford in a civil lawsuit of running a $8 billion Ponzi scheme through his bank in Antigua. Stanford had been marketing high-yield certificates of deposit to wealthy clients looking for a refuge from turbulent stock markets. He allegedly used money from new investors to inflate returns. But prior to the SEC's fraud case, Stanford was best known as a high-flying, ostentatious Texan whose unlikely love of cricket was matched only by his love of the spotlight. He sponsored cricket tournaments in Antigua and trips to Bermuda for members of Congress on his private jets. Stanford still maintains his innocence. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
A little bounce in overseas markets today. European shares are up right now. In Asia, stocks closed higher. Wall Street yesterday mostly up. The S&P 500 and Dow gained under 1%. The NASDAQ was flat. We got word late yesterday after the market closed that Research in Motion, makers of the BlackBerry line of smartphones, had better-than-expected earnings in the first quarter. Profits increased by 33%. Another smartphone that's getting a lot of play today is the Apple iPhone 3GS. Starting today, it's available in stores. But the economic climate is a bit different this time around from the last iPhone release, which was before the financial crisis. From New York, here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
With consumers cutting back, Apple hopes to break into the business world, a world dominated by BlackBerries. Here's Apple's Greg Joswick.
iPhone 3GS now has hardware encryption, which was a big request for businesses.
And to keep consumers lining up at Apple stores, the phone's price will stay at $199 if you're willing to sign a 2-year contract with AT&T. The new phone can shoot video, and Joswick says its speed will be noticeable.
What people will be amazed about is even browsing the web is faster on the same exact network.
That network, AT&T, has drawn complaints for its spotty service. But Roger Kay at Endpoint Technology says that doesn't appear to be taking a bite out of Apple's sales.
It's the value of the available services. And in this particular case, the services are all of these applications that you can get either for free or for very cheap.
And in case you're wondering, 1 billion of those applications have been downloaded since the App Store's launch just a year ago. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Some CEOs of banks that took federal bailout money have been raking in those frequent flyer miles. The Wall Street Journal reports this morning executives at places such as Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, and Regions Financial used company jets for personal use. The Journal says flight records show many instances when the banks flew their planes to areas near resorts or to executives' vacation homes in Mexico, Europe, the Caribbean, South Florida, even Aspen. The banks wouldn't comment on specific trips, but Morgan Stanley and Regions told the newspaper that personal use of jets was within policy. B of A told the Journal the bank's implementing a new policy this year that will not allow personal use of aircraft.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
There's that old negative connotation about museums. They're musty, old, boring. But nowadays, there's a positive one. Cheap. And that's giving museums a boost in this downward economy. From WBUR in Boston, Kurt Nickisch reports.
The Harvard Museum of Natural History is about as old school as they come. Brick building, tall ceilings, and lots of dead animals in glass cases.
Oh, look at that big mouse, Mom! look at flying squirrels.
Allison and Leanna Cameron are here with their mom, Mary. She brought them here not only for the stuffed rodents, she wanted to keep her pocketbook stuffed.
We did come on Wednesday afternoon because it's free to get in from 3 to 5. It certainly was a factor.
Cameron is part of a growing number of people searching out museums lately for their low cost, even with admission. After all, the average entry fee nationwide is $7 a head. Elizabeth Werby runs this Harvard Museum and says the number of visitors here is up 10% so far this year.
Because people recognize museums are a value in this economy. They find inspiration, education, and fun for a relatively low price, and we're happy to provide that.
And this is a trend that's happening nationally. The American Association of Museums has been happy to see a boost in attendance after years of declines, especially now when many museum endowments have plummeted. That's what happened to the Whaling Museum in New Bedford, Massachusetts.
This first one is a humpback. The next one, do you know what this one is? This is the largest.
Tours are fuller this year with 8% more visitors. The Whaling Museum is trying to ride that wave to improve its finances. Here's Vice President Kristen Sneezek.
We decided to take a risk and offer free admission not only to our students, but also to family members that live in the New Bedford area. And we were packed. It worked quite well.
Gift store sales were up $3,000 during the promotion, but Sneezek is gambling on a bigger payback. She's hoping those families will come back again soon, maybe join as members, make a donation, possibly rent the place out for a special event. She says that's where the real revenue is for museums. In Boston, I'm Kurt Nickisch for Marketplace.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org, and share your thoughts with us inside the Scratchpad, our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow there. Inside marketplace.org in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.